got some edible item! Jack, wake up!
What? Oh, my God, look at those things.
Don't just sit there. Use the stone man.
How?
Do something. He's trying to stuff me down his gullet.
Jack raises the stone above his head. A faint green glow appears.
I hope you can do better than that. Get your sticky spectral fingers off of me.
May Leela assist.
By all means.
As Leela raises her arms, giant webbed wings unfold. The creature gives a terrified gasp and drops Sir Henry.
Oh.
The pathetic creature stumbles off into the darkness.
Well, what say we fall back and reconsider?
We can't. Look behind us.
Oh, yes, a dozen or so of the nasty fellows coming this way.
Jack, over here, come.
What's in there?
Can't be worse than what's out here.
Right. It's pitch black. Anyone have a light?
Use your stone, man.
No, it stopped glowing.
Ah, a Zippo, my favorite. What's that now?
I think they're pawing at the door.
Right. Any suggestions?
The stone will protect.
That's what I thought.
It must glow, no?
Jack, if you hold it against your head, maybe one of you will think of something.
It doesn't work that way.
Well, then perhaps... Ouch! Who pinched me? My goodness, there's hands reaching through the walls. I say!
Oh, there are hands everywhere.
Leela growls and bites the groping fingers.
I say, good show, old girl.
They're withdrawing.
Leela, bite them.
That'll keep the maulers at bay, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but for how long?
Jack, look!
By Jove, one's grabbed the stone.
Hey, let go.
Good Lord!
What happened?
The green light hurt him.
Really? I believe we're onto something here.
You know, there has to be a way to activate this thing.
Jack cautiously reaches out and touches the green stone.
It's warm.
He leans forward and places his forehead against the glowing stone. It feels soft. In fact, so soft, it feels as though his head is slowly sinking inside the round ball.
I can see that strange, unearthly light, like an eternal sunset radiance. I can see the walls of the city. I can smell the fragrance of the roses that cover the walls. And there's the bronze gates. And beyond, the glittering minarets.
Jack enters the city. He continues up the street paved with black onyx. He walks past the marble fountains, the perfumed gardens, and rows of ivory statues. He passes beneath the ginkgo trees swaying in the soft-scented breeze. He comes upon long marble steps leading up to an exquisite temple. The dome appears to be set in mother of pearl. He slowly climbs the marble steps. His head feels as though it's still encased in the green ball. Within the temple is a throne set in precious jewels. On the throne is an embroidered satin pillow. Above the throne is a message written in what appears to be an Arabic scroll. But strangely, Jack can understand what is written.
If it's not done with love, don't do it.
He hesitates and then he approaches the throne. He kneels down. He places his head on the satin pillow.
By Jove, you've done it!
What?
The stone! It's glowing a most gorgeous green!
It is?
A magnificent radiance. Good show, old man.
Where were you, Jack?
I was in the Merkaba. I felt my head was inside the stone.
Well, I think we should proceed while the stone is still obliging.
The three adventurers leave the safety of their hut and continue on through the twilight realms of the hungry ghosts.
Hey, what are those people doing over there? It looks like they're shaping things out of mud.
I believe that one over there appears to be driving some sort of vehicle.
Yeah, but it's just a pile of mud.
Yes, he's not making much forward progress. Over there, what is that supposed to be?
I think they're appliances. They're all made out of mud.
I fear these wretched creatures were once such greedy, obsessive consumers who are so attached to their possessions, they are attempting to recreate them out of this sticky and, I must say, rather foul-smelling mud.
Well, they do say greed is a spiritual quest.
Yes. It does appear that they are attempting to fill some sort of spiritual void with various mud-shaped objects of their desire.
Let's keep moving.
They continue on, with Jack holding the green ball like a lantern lighting their way.
Now this is rather bizarre.
What are they doing? Are they sucking on the rocks? They're holding up to their mouths?
Yes.
I say, by the looks of things, this is the realm of the insatiable beer drinkers.
You're kidding.
No, not at all. Notice the way they grasp a rock roughly the size of a beer can and tilt their long, spindly necks back as if they were tippling or quaffing.
Yeah, chug-a-lugging.
Whatever. But one cannot squeeze beer from a stone.
They do not need devils to torment them. They are their own demons.
I believe it's those beer advertisements that have put them in this state.
Oh.
Yes. Pathetic victims of beer commercials. The lovely models. The rousing musical score. The slaps on the back. The macho communion. So powerful is this illusionary world that these poor wallows believe it really does exist.
Oh, look at that one. He just took a rock and hit it against his head.
He fell over.
Most likely he thought it was a beer can. Tried to crush it against his skull, poor chap.
Oh, I think I've seen enough.
Shall we then?
Okay, now what kind of a game is this?
Appears to be a game of grab the neck.
Grab the neck?
Yes, they keep grabbing for each other's skinny necks, but they always miss and grab their own thin ostrich-like necks and squeeze and shake themselves until they fall over and roll around in the dirt.
They seek revenge.
What?
It could be some sort of revenge or hate.
Really?
Yes. Blame someone else and try to get even.
But they're only causing pain to themselves.
Isn't that the usual result of revenge?
So they're stuck here, repeating it over and over.
Yes, because they'll never get even.
And they'll never get out of here?
Only with gentleness and kindness can one even the score.
But that's not getting even.
No, but it's getting free.
Would you like to see the ones who fail?
Who fail?
No, whip.
I believe Leela speaks of ones whose addictions or obsessions have gotten a wee bit out of hand.
Whip.
So they whip themselves?
Yes.
No, I don't really care to see that.
When they were alive on the Earth, they could do something about it. But here, oh dear me.
So is everyone here just mindlessly repeating the same thing over and over?
Mindless? On the contrary, it's the mind that put them here, my dear fellow.
Hey, wait a minute. What's that?
A wall.
How far does it go?
Very far.
How do we get around it?
For me, no problem.
Yeah, well, if we all had wings...
Leela, is there a way around this wall?
Of course. You walk.
Yeah? How far?
Long, long walk.
I see. Well, this calls for the knapsack, I'd say.
Oh?
Nothing like a good strong rope. Always carry one along. Ah, here we are. Leela, do us a favor. Hop up there and secure the end to something solid, will you?
No problem.
You know, we could simply ask her to lift us over. She is strong enough.
I know, but let's not.
You don't trust her.
Not on your sweet Nelly.
After Leela has secured the rope, Jack and Sir Henry proceed to scale the wall.
Good grief. There's a whole other city inside the wall.
Yes. Bit of a mess, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Collapsed domes, fallen towers. Must have been something in its day.
A strange sadness befalls Jack as he looks out across the gray, crumbling city in this dusky twilight realm of the hungry ghosts.
I think I'm experiencing déjà vu.
Well then, let's explore, shall we?
They walk down the wide boulevard, stepping over the holes in the cracked black pavement, past the dead trees, past the broken statues, past the fallen bridges and the dry pools with their silent fountains. At the end of the boulevard is a temple, its dome covered in dust. Jack slowly climbs the marble steps, and there, as in his dream, is the throne. But he can still see the beautiful Arabic inscription carved above the throne.
If it's not done with love, don't do it.
Jack extends his arms and is about to set the stone upon the dusty throne, but Leela steps in front of him, blocking the way.
What are you doing?
I'm returning the stone.
No, you cannot.
But don't you see, this is the Merkaba.
This is an illusion.
No, it's not. It's where the stone belongs.
You fool.
Suddenly, Leela snatches the stone out of Jack's hands. Her great wings unfold. Jack lunges for the stone, but she leaps back out of his grasp and into the air.
Leela, it's not yours. This is where it belongs. Now believe me.
And then, much to Jack's horror, the stone slips from her hands.
Oh, no!
The stone, glowing brighter and brighter, falls back down toward the city. Jack and Sir Henry dive for cover as the stone hits the Pearl Dome. It smashes into thousands of pieces, followed by a sudden shockwave that knocks Jack and Sir Henry off their feet.
Lisa!
And sweeps out across the city. Thousands of tiny green fragments flicker for a moment and then vanish.
I can't see. I think I'm blind.
Yes, quite.
You too?
Quite blind.
Oh.
I believe I may just sit for a bit.
What about the hungry ghosts?
Oh, I wouldn't worry. Be a little while before they come for us, I'd say.
As they sit in the peaceful silence of the dead city, Jack hears what sounds like a fountain. And then a bird. He feels a soft breeze. It's scented with the fragrance of roses. Slowly, his vision returns, even though he seems to be seeing everything in shades of green. The trees appear to be covered with green leaves. The fountains spew turquoise water. The throne is covered with emeralds. The green statues appear intact. In fact, the whole city is strangely restored, as he first saw it in his dreams.
Only greener.
But even that begins to fade as his eyes gaze upon the walls covered in red roses, and then the great bronze gates, and finally the snow-capped mountains beyond.
Good Lord.
Yes, Jack?
No, the hungry ghosts. They're gone.
So they are.
But where?
Difficult to say.
Maybe they were fed.
No, I don't think so.
I don't see them.
I believe they've just moved on, or evolved, whatever. Well, shall we?
As they walk through the bronze gates, they are greeted by a familiar sight.
Splendid. What say I drive?
Fine.
Far off, across the green meadows, atop a distant hill, is a familiar sight catching the first rays of the morning sun.
If I'm not mistaken, there's my way back home. Well, goodbye, Sir Henry.
Cheerio, Jack. Until next time, then. Carry on.
Hello, Nanny.
Did you have a nice time?
I wouldn't exactly call it that, but at least it's over, I hope.
And Sir Henry?
He left. That is, if it really was Sir Henry, or some facet of him. But whoever he was, I couldn't have done it without him.
And Leela?
She flew off. I don't understand her, but why did she do what she did?
Oh, what she did was not so bad, yes?
I guess not.
I close up now, Mr. Jack.
Yeah. Well, looks like another brilliant autumn day in New York. Will I ever see you again, Nanny?
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, goodbye, Nanny.
Goodbye, Mr. Jack.
An exhausted Jack returns to his apartment.
Oh, boy. It's good to be home. Great. Hello?
Mr. Flanders?
Yes?
This is Bill Bigelow of Bigelow, Bigelow, and Bigelow.
Look, I'm not in...
No, wait. We're handling the estate of your late aunt.
What late aunt?
Lady Jowls.
What?
Weren't you informed?
What happened?
She passed on.
Oh, my God.
Quite peacefully, I might add.
Oh.
Lady Jowls has left you her entire estate.
Do you mean...
Inverness.
That old mansion with the four towers?
No.
No?
No, there are only three towers in Inverness.
Huh. Really?
Angel.